Blog Talk Radio.
And you are here today because anyone who ever bet against you was wrong. Because any obstacle that ever dared get in your way, no matter how invincible it may have seemed, it was defeated by your innate power to overcome. You are here today because you are powerful beyond measure. Stop denying yourself of this truth. Your greatest self has been waiting your entire life. Don't you dare make it wait any longer.
A Better Today welcomes you to Empowered Living, Life, the Truth, and Being Free with host, speaker, writer, and personal coach, Steve Maraboli. Steve and his expert guests take you on a quest for truth and highlight philosophies and strategies that help you release your greatest self. It's time to focus on your potential instead of your limitations. Here's your host, Steve Maraboli.
Hey, welcome. You're listening to Empowered Living, Life, the Truth, and Being Free. I'm your host, Steve Maraboli. Of course, you are welcome to participate with this show no matter where in the world you are listening, no matter how you are listening. You can participate through AOL Instant Messenger. The screen name is ABT Radio Show. You could also participate through our website, empoweredlivingradio.com. That's empoweredlivingradio.com. Oh, we're going to do it today. Masters and preachers and gurus, oh my. We're going to have fun today. Let's talk about it. Let's be real about it. It needs to be said, and I have cleared out the inbox to make room for the tons of emails I'm sure I'm going to get from this show. Ranging from Steve, thank you for telling it how it is, to, hey, Steve, someone should put a bullet through your head. Every time I do a show like this, they vary from those types. So I have emptied the inbox, ready for some more, and let's do this. But first, I want to say hello to the A Better Today community. Never, ever forget the power of one. One kind gesture, one person at a time, one day at a time. Get out there and participate. Get out there and share. Get out there and never, ever, ever, ever forget that it's something we do. Something we do. One kind gesture, one person at a time, one day at a time, no matter what you believe, no matter what your religion, your philosophy. The truth is we're all on the same team and in this together. Let's participate, not point out each other's differences, but instead recognize the very real and very vital similarities we have, and get out there and participate. One kind gesture, one person at a time, one day at a time. That's the power of one. Let's do this show. Masters and preachers and gurus. Oh my. I've been talking about this for a while now in bits and pieces, but I figured let's just have an entire show dedicated to it. An entire show dedicated to the evolution of thought. To the shysters and crooks and criminals, to the people who empower, who inspire. Let's talk about all of it. Let's talk about the state of the world today, the intellectual world, the science world, the state of the human potential. Let's talk about it for real, not in a hocus pocus, not in a purely science, but let's have a real conversation about where we are, how we got here, and what's true about the human experience and the human potential. You know, it's so interesting that going to a bookstore, whether it's a local bookstore or even a Barnes & Noble that of course is everywhere here in the U.S. And I know that so many other big major bookstores around the world. You go in and you see something that you've never really seen before. You've gone in and you've watched throughout the years. I remember years ago, a couple of decades ago at this point, where you would go in and the spirituality section was called the occult section. That's where it was occult. It was hidden and it was the occult section where you'd find all the spirituality, and that got bigger, and it was renamed a couple of times. You saw it called New Age, and some was called spirituality, and some was called personal growth or self-help. You've seen it adjusted and sometimes categorized differently and separated, and you've seen this section grow, and it's so interesting now to be in a time where we're watching another section of the bookstore grow. Walk into a bookstore and you will see a small but growing section titled Atheism. An atheism section of a bookstore. A word that was historically so ugly, so combated. The media and the, of course, the marketing of religious dogmas have made that word so nasty. But and for the most part, it had been avoided. But now it's popping into pop culture. There have been several New York Times best-selling books, millions of books sold that are atheism books. Folks like Richard Dawkins and Christopher Hitchens and Sam Harris, and we've had some powerful writers talking about it. Michael Shermer is a skeptic, and he's writing about it. And you're watching these books gain popularity, and you can't help but notice this evolution of thought and this growth. So let's talk about it. Let's not deny it. Let's not shut it down. Let's have this conversation and see how your own thoughts have evolved. Let's have this conversation about masters and preachers and gurus. I've said before on the show, what if this whole 2012 thing, what if this whole 2012 thing, and you've heard the gurus, you've heard it talk about a spiritual awakening, you've heard it discussed on this show, how the 2012 could be a spiritual awakening. What if this whole 2012 phenomenon, if it has any viability at all, but what if what we're experiencing, not just in 2012, but in the years leading up to this year and the years that continue this, what if what we're seeing isn't a spiritual awakening, but instead a human one? What if it isn't a spiritual grasping, but instead it's the disillusionment from the nonsense that was being sold to us from the gurus and preachers and masters for centuries? And it in fact is the time that we begin to empower our true self. Because that's what I'm noticing. That's what I'm seeing in my own life. This evolution of even this show, and you can watch it, you could listen to the past 5 or 6 years, however long I've been doing the show, you can listen to the evolution of thought and process as I refine, improve, enhance my own experience of humanity, my own experience with the human potential and spirituality. You know what I've learned? You know what I've learned in observation? That I believe that we are, in fact, this idea that they say you're spiritual beings having a human experience. I can go ahead and believe that. And then when I look back at the past several decades of masters and preachers and gurus, well, actually, you could look back at the past couple millennia of masters and preachers and gurus, and you realize that what they're not talking about is this human experience, or they're gauging the human experience through spirituality. They're gauging the human experience through spirituality, and spirituality is not the gauge at which we should measure our humanity. That's a silly gauge to use to measure our humanity, and it is the cause for a lot of state of affairs, a lot of ways. Your frustration, your feeling of disempowerment, it is a result of gauging your humanity with spirituality. You are a spiritual being. Think of the small, in eternity, think of the small amount of time you're human. Think of that. Think of that small amount of time. If you are a spirit before and you're a spirit after infinitely, think of the small amount of time you have this human experience. Why would you throw it away? Trying to be spiritual, trying to be what you already are. And this is what has happened. We've had years and years and years and centuries and millennia of masters and preachers and gurus, oh my, trying to teach you to be something you already are. And in the process, denying something you are experiencing, which is this human life. And here you go throughout the years, trying to find your way, trying to have this spiritual answers to human questions, when in fact the two aren't mixing, not because you're not spiritual, but because you're not celebrating and embracing the power of your humanity, which is the experience you're in right now. You find so often, as I look back, and I've been studying this for some time now, how wrong so many of these teachings have been. Not only how wrong they have been, and I don't think for a second that every master, preacher, and guru is crooked or a shyster. I don't believe that for a second. I don't believe that every single one of them is. I believe the majority of them are, definitely. But what happens is we start losing the power we have over our lives. Even though we think we're increasing it, we're losing it. So for years and years, you've been buying these books in the spiritual section, help section, the personal growth section, whatever you call it. You've been buying these books, and the sections keep growing and then subdividing and subdividing and subdividing, and the industry gets huge, and suddenly you have this huge publishing house and that huge publishing house and this huge expo event, and now this publishing house is having a whole huge event, and you get to see all their authors and speakers, and money's flying everywhere, and people are coming from all over the world and all over the country and all over the place to come see these speakers, and they feel great. These speakers make you feel amazing, and you go home and you still receive a bill in the mail that you can't pay. And you still go back to a relationship that's broken, that you don't know how to fix. And you still look in the mirror and don't like what you see, and you keep yelling at the mirror, blaming it on it instead of recognizing, and you don't know what to do because you haven't been given the tools. You haven't been reminded of the tools you were born with to remedy these issues. And instead, you've been listening to masters and preachers and gurus, oh my, who have been distracting you, saying you need to reconnect with your spiritual self. And it is a beautiful thing to reconnect with your spiritual self, but you already are that. You already are that. And the problem is you don't have a spiritual problem. You don't have an energy problem. You don't have a prayer or meditation problem. What you have is a very human problem that can only be fixed in a very human way. This is why this self-help, personal growth, spiritual, occult, whatever the section is called these days, the subsections, it takes up half the bookstore. The reason why it is such a big section and it's a growing industry is because the stuff in there doesn't work for this human experience. If it worked, it wouldn't be a growing industry. If it worked, if it was a remedy, you would be healed. they put words like healing and fixing and manifesting. They put this in the title of their solutions. They put these finite things in the titles of their books, but it hasn't healed you. It hasn't helped you manifest. It hasn't solved. It hasn't done that. The title's in the book, but that doesn't happen in your life because they're giving you a solution to a problem you don't have. You don't have a spirituality problem. You are spiritual. Folks, you cannot be less spiritual. You are a beautiful creation of spirituality. That's who you are. Whether you feel connected to it or not, doesn't even matter. That's who you are. A child is a child of that parent, whether it likes it or not. It can't be less of a child of that parent. It could be more connected or less connected, but it doesn't make it any less of a child of that parent. That's how you are with your spirituality. You don't have a spiritual problem. You don't have an energy problem. You don't have a prayer or meditation problem. You have a human problem. We need to wake up to our humanity. The reason that the industry is growing is because it doesn't work. You don't see the polio industry growing. The polio industry isn't growing, is it? No, because we have a remedy. We have a remedy. What other industries are growing? You're watching the cancer industry grow. Why is it growing? Why are more and more doctors under the payroll? Why are more and more researchers? Why are more and more things? Why is it a growing industry? It's a growing industry because they haven't had the cure yet. And hopefully one day there will be a cure. There will be an inspiration for someone to come up with the cure instead of an inspiration. What exists now is an inspiration for people to come up with a treatment to make you feel better while you have cancer, but not actually eradicate it. There are some researchers out there who are doing their best to eradicate it. And when they do, you will watch the industry shrink, not grow. And you'll say logically, why is the cancer industry shrinking? Well, because we have the cure. We already know. There's no reason to grow an industry that we have a cure in. But the self-help, spiritual, personal growth industry keeps growing. New masters and preachers and gurus, oh my, keep coming into the mix. There seems to be new ones every single day. And what are they offering? They keep telling you they're offering the cure, but they're not offering the cure. How do you know they're not offering the cure? Because it's a growing industry. What they're offering is treatment. I won't fix it, but I'll make you feel better about the situation you're in. So they've been doing that for years and years and years and years and years and centuries and millennia, and it's been written about and talked about and argued about and fought over, and there's been murders and mass murders, and there've been celebrations and masses and huge parades. There's been all kinds of involvement in the masters and the preachers and the gurus, and we've seen this for years and years and years. And where has it gotten us? It's gotten us to a point where we're feeling frustrated. We're feeling frustrated. Don't you feel frustrated? Don't you feel frustrated sometimes that you've been offered what you thought was a cure, but in fact it was just a treatment? You thought it was going to fix the issue, but all it did was feel better a little while, and the issue's still there. A lot of people are feeling this way, and this is why you're seeing the growth of that new industry, atheism. Oh, and as you look into this, you're seeing a phenomenon where it's very interesting. You know, for those of you who live in the United States, I could use this as an example. And the rest of you who don't, you'll still understand what I'm saying. So the last one we elected President Barack Obama. The election before that, which was President George W. Bush's second term. A lot of people forget who he went up against in his second term. It was John Kerry. It was John Kerry. And the reason a lot of people forget that is because there was something so interesting that happened. so interesting that happened. We had such turmoil in the United States, and there was so much, it was such a polarized population. It was almost split down the middle, and who's pro-war and who's anti-war, and people talking about President Bush and saying horrible things, and other people talking about him saying amazing things, and you're just seeing this complete polarization where people are either on one side or the other side, and that's what they're feeling, that's what they're thinking, and you're seeing at the ballots and saying, who are you voting for? Some people didn't even care who was going up against President Bush. They were saying, I'm voting for anybody but Bush, anybody but Bush. And you saw this anger. They were so sick of these what they viewed as broken promises, and the other people weren't sick of broken promises. To them, Bush was like a hero and a savior, and they were saying, I'm all vote for Bush, and I don't care, we love Bush. Other people hate him, and they're saying, I don't like him for this reason. Other people are saying, I don't care who it is as long as it's not this guy. And you saw varying degrees of why people were going against this sitting president. It's a very similar thing that you're seeing with the rise of this atheism section. When you talk to people who go into that section, when you talk to people who are reading these books, when you're finding that there are some people who are just saying, no, you know, we have updated versions of reality, and I'm not into what these masters and preachers and gurus are talking about anymore. I'm not into that. Other people are saying, no, I'm so frustrated. I've poured my money into these masters programs and guru programs and these churches, and I've done all this, and my life has only gotten worse. I don't care what it is. I just don't want what you've been selling me for all these years. I don't want what these masters and preachers and gurus have been selling me for all these years, and they're angry and they're frustrated. And you're seeing a polarization again, but this time it's against the idea of religion, of God, of preachers, of masters and gurus. It's a fascinating thing to watch, and I completely understand it. I've been talking about it on the show here for a while, on and off, and plugging here and there, and the emails I get are so polarizing. Some people, like I said, are so thankful for an honest conversation. Other people literally want me dead for having the conversation. And we're seeing this polarization in this world, not only here in the United States, but all over the world. You're seeing a polarization in some countries that you're seeing. The polarization's already passed years ago, and you've seen the country flip more towards either a science dogma or a religious dogma, and you see how the country follows with that. It's very interesting what's happening. We're alive in an incredible time. But let's talk about – I want to talk about the ramifications of masters, preachers, and gurus. Oh, my. And what's true about our human potential? What's true about our potentiality? What's true about this experience? I think that we are ready for an updated version. You know, it's so interesting when you start talking about this and people will start writing in, and I'm looking at it, the feedback now the same way. Some people are loving it. Some people are, Steve, you're pushing the agenda of atheism. You're clearly an atheist. You blah, 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 blah. Here's the thing. I don't consider myself an atheist at all. I have a grand, if you listen to the show at all, I have a grand respect, a grand belief and a knowing and a respect for the incredible orchestrator of this universe. Your ignorance leads you to call me an atheist. Your lack of imagination leads you to call me an atheist. Your inability to grasp command of a dialect in which you can communicate effectively and efficiently requires you call me an atheist. But I'm telling you, the reason I do not personify or anthropomorphize a God, this grand orchestrator, the reason I don't do it isn't because of that. If I don't personify this God, if I don't make it a person and make him jealous and angry and loving and looking at me, and I don't make it a person, if I don't personify this God and put some ridiculous story behind it, you'll call me an atheist. But that's silly, lack of imagination, lack of understanding in your side. The reason I do not personify God isn't because I don't believe in such a thing. I don't personify God because I refuse to limit a God, to limit an orchestrator, to limit a creator, to limit a universal force. I refuse to limit it to the boundaries of my imagination or yours. And I don't want to limit it to your imagination either. We're talking about a theism, a story. That is Bronze Age thinking. And I think that it's beautiful. I've said so many times in this show before, I believe the Bible isn't a book of stories to be believed, but instead a book of messages to be received. And I have always had so much respect and have guided myself as a student of Christianity throughout my entire life, and it has paid off in so many ways. The impact I have had on people all over the world is tremendous, and for me that is the greatest payoff in the world of a life well lived. I do not personify God because I refuse to limit that God to the boundaries of my imagination or yours. The thinking is old. It's outdated. What else do we think about now? These are the messages to be received from people who are in touch with their humanity, and they were writing it in a way that they could write. They were writing it with the understanding of the world that they had. I think that's fantastic, but I don't take it as science. I don't take it as truth of life. There's nothing else. That this is written by people who, while insightful and powerful in their minds and powerful in their actions in many ways, these are people who did not know where the sun went at night. They didn't know where the sun went at night. These are people who thought the earth was flat. Many of your religious and sacred texts are written by people who today we would consider profoundly ignorant in the sciences. We know things now that they didn't know. It doesn't make them any less brilliant for their time. But just because they wrote it 2,000 years ago doesn't make them any more than desert nomads who are writing something, the experience of their humanity. I think that when taken for that, it is incredible. But when taken as an actual story, as historical truth, this is why we find ourselves in problems that we have now. Conversations happening on a national and global level that are simply ridiculous. We find ourselves picking and choosing at what we're arguing about, what we're talking about. We find ourselves doing silly things and not paying attention to what these masters and preachers and gurus, oh my, are doing in their personal lives when we're looking just what they're writing and what they're preaching and not looking at their behavior. So we find ourselves having a discussion, silly things like, should gay people be married? It's against what Jesus said for gay people to be gay. And what we're talking about is something so profoundly ignorant. So profoundly ignorant. I was reading a story from Arizona yesterday. In Arizona, it's in high school baseball playoffs. High school baseball teams have been playing, I guess, all season, and now it's time for the playoffs, and two teams reached the championship game. How exciting for them. One of the teams from a Catholic school forfeited. They refused to play the other team. Do you want to know the reason? The reason is because the other team has a girl player on it. And the Catholic school believes that boys and girls should not be playing sports against each other.
Folks, look at the calendar. Look at what year this is. This is a conversation we're still having. Here in the United States, I know that a lot of the rest of the world has advanced past this, but here in the United States, we thought it was a big deal because a woman had the possibility of being a vice president. There was a woman on the vice presidential ballot, and it was a huge thing. This is the conversation we're still having. The reason we're still stuck in these Bronze Age conversations is because we're taking Bronze Age opinion and philosophy as true historical facts as written by a god. That is ridiculous. And we're picking and choosing because, folks, if you don't know this by now, I'm going to tell you, the masters and preachers and gurus, oh my, 100% of their plan, whether it's a marketing plan or their plan for growth or their plan for whatever, 100% of it depends on you being ignorant. Being ignorant. They want to tell you things like God said you shouldn't do this and God said you shouldn't do that. Watching somebody on the news saying how we had the president of the United States, the first sitting president, talking about this gay issue, this gay marriage issue. And the president said, well, for me personally, I think gay people should be able to get married. It's simple enough, right? People were celebrating and blah, blah, blah. It was interesting. So here's this guy on TV. I think that he was even a member of our government. He says, well, clearly that means that President Obama isn't following his Christianity and what Jesus taught. Ignorance, ignorance, ignorance. Jesus never mentioned a thing about the homosexuality. Never mentioned a thing about it. And there's nothing about it in the New Testament. It's all Old Testament stuff, the old stuff. And sure, it's in there. But you know what else is in there? If we're going to follow that, let's follow all of it that's in there. It's also in there that if your neighbor works on the Sabbath day, you should kill him. Are we going to do that? No, that's ridiculous. You know why it's ridiculous? Because it was written by people over 2,000 years ago. What other opinion would we take from those people? That's silly. That if a woman, if you marry a woman and she isn't a virgin when you marry her, you should take her back to her dad's house so he can stone her to death? Are we going to do that as well? They're banking on your ignorance. How many weddings have you been to? I've been to a million weddings. And you hear so often in the weddings, the book from the reading of the book of Paul, Paul's letter to the Corinthians. Oh, and it's poetic, and it's love is patient, love is kind. You know, you've heard this a million times. Oh, and it's so beautiful. What you don't know is a few verses later in the same letter, Paul is saying, and women should keep their mouth shut in public because they're women. And if they want to learn something, they should shut up and learn it at home from their husband. And women shouldn't be in teaching roles, and women should be quiet in public. Are we still following that? Should that person I saw on TV be talking about that? Of course not, because it's ridiculous. It's ridiculous like 99% of the other stuff as stories in those books. The messages in there are some great messages in there. But there are also some pretty horrific ones. You don't see anywhere in a Bible where it teaches against slavery. It's proponent of slavery. Back in the days when slaves were trying to not be slaves, the people who were trying to keep them slaves, guess what they were quoting? They were quoting the Bible, where the Bible says you can have slaves. And to understand that this is silliness. So we cover preachers where they've been preaching silliness for years, and it's our fault for not paying attention. It's our fault for not paying attention because you see time and time again the greatest atrocities have been committed by these organizations that preach the most through these books. Can we not be real about this? Look in history and see what organizations have created the greatest atrocities.
And these were all organizations that had some sort of dogma, some sort of dogma belief that they were trying to teach someone else. And this is what I'm trying to tell you. This is why you're seeing this awakening of humanity. You're seeing people turned off. Anytime you mention God, you almost see a glazed look on their face. Like, oh no, you went. And the reason that's happening to them is because they've been listening to masters and preachers and gurus, oh my, for so many years, and they know that if they've tried it, it's gone through, because we're not paying attention. We're walking into churches, and churches can serve a fantastic part, but the organization itself, we need to pay attention, because they're walking into churches, and the churches are saying, are you having financial issues? And you're saying, yes, I'm having financial issues. And it's saying, well, what you need to do is pray. Pray that the Lord opens up the windows of abundance. Have the Lord open up these windows of abundance, and money shall rain down. And this is how you'll fix your financial problems. And then you know what they do after that? They hand out a basket. And what do they want you to put in that basket? Prayers? Tell them, oh, I put a prayer in that basket. They talk about tithing. Say, I'm tithing with prayers this month. Tell them that. And see what they tell you. Suddenly, it's not about praying to the Lord. If you have financial problems, they want you to pray. They have financial problems. They're handing you a basket that your ass better fill with money. We need to pay attention to this. The churches know very well that their financial issues aren't, they're not. And this goes for churches, temples, mosques, whatever. Their financial issues are not energy issues. They're not prayer or meditation issues. They're money issues, and they need money. And they know it. And that's why you get handed a basket. That's why you get reminded to tithe. That's why they tell you these things. But at the same time, when you have financial issues, they'll tell you pray and meditate. For the Lord works in mysterious ways. Oh, it sure is a mysterious way. You want money from me when you have issues, but you, when I have issues, you want me to pray and come back here. And guess what? Give you more money. Shocker. Masters and preachers and gurus. Oh, my. And the masters are no better, because the masters are saying, oh, I am a energy master and I'm a healer and all this stuff. And what are they doing? The material world means nothing to me. Folks, look at your gurus. Look at your masters. Look at the people whose books you're buying. And look at the life they're living. Try and find the house they live in. Try and find the cars they're driving. Try and keep a track of their travel record. Look at this and believe me. Believe me. They have a greater attachment to the material world than you think. Masters and preachers and gurus, oh my. And we find ourselves in a situation that we don't know what's true. So we start using words like atheist and agnostic. I don't know what's true, you say, because I've tried this and it feels good, but nothing changes in my life. What happens is, folks, people, greed, fear, the quest for power, that's what this masters and gurus and preachers thing's all been about. Think of the audacity it takes to call yourself a master of something, to preach to others, to call yourself a guru, the audacity. That is pride on steroids, and that's fine that there are people who share, and there are some incredibly wise and sharing people out there, but think of the audacity it takes, the audacity it takes to preach something you're not following, to say that you're a master of something that you're not, to be a guru of something you know isn't right. And that's the phenomenon we're seeing. And like I said, not all of them are crooks. Just the majority of them.
and they're crooks even either overtly or covertly. But they know they don't follow that. They know they don't live that. They know they don't master that. They have become experts at being experts. And we end up with a diluted version of our potentiality. A diluted version of our potentiality doesn't benefit us. We start looking for the easy way out of situations that could be complex. We start looking for an easy way out to avoid the incredibly wonderful resistance that will create better character of us. We look for an easy way out, and in the seeking of that easy way out, we lose time and we lose money and we lose hope because we think we're not good enough, we're not strong enough. And the second we think we're not good enough, we're not strong enough, we have become clients of the masters and preachers and gurus. Oh my. What happens if we just tell the truth? I can tell you what happens when you tell the truth. My email inbox will show you what happens when you tell the truth. But I'm not afraid to tell the truth. I'm not afraid. I'm encouraged to. I'm excited and feel so blessed to tell the truth. I'm so blessed to tell the truth that even though masters and preachers and gurus, oh my, have been trying to convince you for years that you are on a journey to God, the truth is, you're not on a journey to God. You're on a journey with God. You see, they teach you that you're on a journey to God because then they create the roadway. They create the roadway to that very God. And guess what they do? They create the roadway to that God, and they put pay toll checkpoints on the way to that journey. But you're not on a journey to anywhere. You're in a journey with that God, with that universe. Whatever it means to you, you're on that journey. You're on that journey, and I want you to remember on that journey that science isn't an enemy to this God. And nor is spirituality an enemy to science. They are not enemies at all. While spirituality isn't the gauge at which we should measure our humanity, what spirituality is, it's our true nature. It's what we were before we were born. It's what we'll be after we die, this human death. Spirituality, while we're here, is the poetry of our experience. Spirituality is the poetry of our experience. Science becomes the gauge of our reality. It's what we can see while we're here. It's what tells you that you don't have an energy problem. You have a money problem. You need to make more money. Your energy, you don't need to make more energy. You need to make more money. You can't write a check for energy. You need to make more money, so figure out a way to make more money. You don't have a health problem because you have an energy problem. You have a health problem because you have a commitment issue. You have a problem making decisions that are healthy for you. You don't have a relationship problem because you have an energy problem or a prayer or meditation problem. Prayer and meditation didn't put you in the situation in the relationship you're in. Decisions, choices, communication, lack of communication, all those things put you in the situation you're in, and it is those things that are going to get you out. You're not going to pray your way out, just like you didn't pray your way in. That is science. Spirituality is the poetry of our experience. Science is the gauge of our reality. And together, they create the essence of our humanity. what happens when you combine these things and say, yes, I can pray and I can meditate because it helps keep me centered. It helps, and there's an actual scientific cool thing that happens. It actually hooks up your amygdala. It decreases the blood flow a little bit. Your amygdala is in your brain, and it handles all your – it kind of contextualizes your thoughts, especially the nasty ones. It helps you deal with your stress, and when you decrease the blood flow to there, it makes it less sensitive. Yes, you absolutely feel better. So, yes, pray and meditate. It does absolutely make you feel better. What happens when you combine that prayer and meditation with actual action that'll help remedy the problem? What happens is you have a complete essence and experience of your humanity. And when you have that, you don't need the masters and preachers and gurus. And that's why neither masters nor preachers nor gurus will ever tell you that. They're not going to inspire you so that they don't have a job. They're not going to empower you to the point where you don't need their books. And right now they have you feeling like you need their books. You don't buy their, think about it. Think about it. You don't buy their books because you like the style of writing. You buy their books because they make you feel better. So you feel that you need it. They've done this to you. I love when my books are described as poetry, because then I know people are buying them because they enjoy it. What happens when you empower people? You put the masters and preachers and gurus, oh my, out of business. That's why they have done their best. Back in the day, they would kill people who empowered. They would literally kill people who empowered others, who got them thinking, who took the empowerment out of the churches, out of the mosques, out of the cults, out of these things, these sects. These sectarian groups, they took it out of there and they put it back in the people. They killed them. The story of Jesus himself, for those of you who are students of Christianity, I'm going to reiterate and piss a few more people off. I have yet to meet a Christian. I mistakenly used to call myself that. How dare I? There are few. I haven't met anybody who, if Jesus, the person, was here, would say, yeah, that person's on my team. I haven't met anybody. More accurately is that you are a student of Christianity. Humble yourself. When you say, I am a Christian, you put Jesus as your colleague. I am a student of Christianity. You could say that way that Jesus remains a teacher, a role model for you to follow. Act accordingly instead of considering him a colleague and condemning others. But I digress. For years, the masters and preachers and gurus, even that story of Jesus, he tried to empower people, said, the kingdom of heaven's within you. You have the power. You think I'm awesome. You're going to be even more awesome. What a powerful story is, and what happens to him in that story? They killed him quick, didn't they? The last thing they want, if somebody's making money off your illness, the last thing they want is for you to be healthy. That's logical. The masters and preachers and gurus, oh my, are perhaps the greatest wolves in sheep's clothing that any society has ever experienced. And I got caught up in that too. But not anymore. And I've been screaming it from the rooftops on this show for years. Folks, if the universe did consist of a battle between a devil and a god, if it did consist of such a battle, I believe the final analysis would conclude that the church and religion, the establishment of religion, would have been the devil's most brilliant move, while science would have been God's, would have been the most brilliant move of this universe. Because within that science, you recognize the potentiality and the truth and the timelessness of your spirituality. Science has never gotten to a point where they can exclude and eliminate a God. And these people that call themselves atheists, some are so angry, they'll say, oh, there's no God. The majority will say, no, we're not sure. I'm positive it's not the God you're telling me. I'm positive it's not the God that's telling me I'm going to hell because of this or that, or because of who or what I'm drinking or what I'm eating or who I'm having sex with. I'm positive it's not that guy. And this is what they're saying. They are not being limited, and we're at that time where we're seeing this happen. We're seeing this happen. And I love seeing this happen because it opens conversation. And for me, I'm not much of a political fella. You know that. I'm not much of a political fella. While I do enjoy getting people aroused to the point where they have these conversations, where they have these eye-opening conversations and sometimes passionate conversations, I know that no matter what email I get, whether it's somebody fervently loving me or somebody fervently wishing I was dead, I'm happy because I have aroused thought in their life. I have aroused conversation in their life. And that they cannot unhear what I said. And I'm glad and I feel empowered by this because I know that I am helping others recognize the empowerment of their life, to recognize that they are powerful beyond measure and they already have everything within them that they need to fulfill their purpose. And I'm happy about this. I'm happy about this because I want to see us move forward. I want to see us move forward in the sciences and our understanding of the spiritual timelessness of our being and the limited time of our humanity and the potentiality of that time, the impact we can leave in the time that we're here, the impact we can leave on others, the impact we could have on our own sense of spirit is incredible. It's abundant. It's immeasurable. But it's only so if we remove ourselves from the Bronze Age thinking of our ancestors. They had some wonderful messages to share with us. But their stories are intolerably ignorant. And they have led to murders. They have led to disgusting acts throughout the years. If we update our version of ourselves and understand our spirituality and our humanity better, not a single church has to close. I've been to some incredible churches. Not a single temple has to close. I've been to some incredible temples. Not a single religious institution needs to close. I've been to some incredible religious institutions. But when the people of those institutions are inspired and empowered from within, what you do is you eliminate the crooks who run those institutions. And you recognize it for what it is, a place we can go to feel empowered, inspired, and connected as students of whatever dogmatic story we believe. But we can recognize the truth of our humanity, the truth of our potentiality, that other people aren't bad because they don't agree with our story, that other people aren't evil or hell-bound because they don't follow our dogmas, that you are not evil and hell-bound because you're not giving a certain percent of money away. Folks, for thousands of years, and increasingly so in the past couple of decades with the advancement of media, the marketing job and the indoctrination by the masters and preachers and gurus, oh my, has been incredible. They have been incredibly effective and efficient by confusing you, about their role, by confusing you, by making you feel empowered enough
but not so empowered that you feel that you don't need them. They like to think that they have been nourishing your soul in some way. And the truth is, that isn't it at all. Which is why you've been frustrated with the industry, which is why you've been frustrated with the way that it works, because you've tried to apply their systems to their spiritual systems to your very human issues, and you've come up empty. You may feel better, you may even get the goosebumps. But goosebumps don't help you keep your house. Goosebumps don't help you feed your family. Goosebumps don't do that. What if we can combine the spiritual goosebumps with a human work ethic? What if we can combine the beauty of the spiritual poetry that we have available to us, the poetry of our experiences? What if we could combine that with the gauge of our reality, the science of our reality? What if we could understand as a whole the essence of our humanity, the truth of this human experience, and use them as observations for our empowered living and lead our lives, not wait to be led, but to lead our lives in the direction that we want it to go? How does your life change if you finally let go of your need to be validated or nourished by the masters and preachers and gurus, oh my, and finally looked at yourself in the mirror and said, I'm going to breathe life back into my life. I'm going to breathe action back. I'm going to recognize that every religious and sacred text had faith as a verb. It was a thing to be demonstrated. And the masters and preachers and gurus, oh my, have diluted that meaning to keep faith as an act, from an act to a philosophy. Faith has become a philosophy, a thing to be talked about, when in no ancient text is it something to be talked about. It is a thing to be demonstrated. And by the way, all the Bible pushers that I'm sure are going to write into me, there are none of you that know that book better, back and forth, each book within that book and the story that came with it. You don't know it as well as I do, and I promise you there are a few times that God actually gives himself a name in the Old Testament, and the name he gives himself, look it up. Look it up. The name he gives himself, when you look it up in the Hebrew, it's not a noun. You would think that when asked the name, you would answer with a noun. The God of the Bible doesn't answer his name with a noun. He gives you a name. He says, my name is. And the name he uses is a verb. How badass is that? My name is a verb. It is always moving and changing and growing and refining and improving. It wasn't meant to be dogmatic. It wasn't meant to be fixed. And neither were you. You were meant to refine, to improve, and enhance. And that includes your belief system. It includes your needs and wants. And it includes your own human potentiality to go out and get it. Decide what you want. Say your prayers, say your meditations, and then create a plan, a vision, an intent, a vision, a plan, and then get your ass out there and do it. Enjoy, empower, inspire this human experience, for we will go back to 100% spirituality soon enough. Enjoy and empower yourself through this humanity. And when you're doing so, don't ever forget that this New Yorker loves you and is cheering you on. Folks, this show went fast. I hope you got you. I got you thinking. You're listening to Empowered Living. I'm Steve Maraboli. Check out stevemaraboli.com, empoweredlivingradio.com. Go out there and make a difference. You're listening to Empowered Living. I'm Steve Maraboli. We'll see you next time.
Better Today would like to thank you for listening to Empowered Living, Life, the Truth, and Being Free.